There is a word from the Lord that comes from the book of Daniel, Old Testament passage of scripture, Old Testament, Daniel, one of the major prophets. The book of Daniel, major prophet, not because his word was more important, but because the book, along with the other four major prophetical books, they're longer books, that's all. They're all very important. Daniel chapter 2. Read verses 12 through 15. To all of our guests, again, if this is your first time with us, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your presence here today. Daniel chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and it reads, it's thus, "The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom. He asked Arioch, 'Why has the king issued such a harsh decree?' So Arioch told him all that had happened." I want to talk this morning from the thought, making a crisis count. Making a crisis count. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know the sound. It's a familiar sound. It's a sound that makes the heart race. It's a sound that makes the pulse really palpitate. Where's it going? Who's been impacted? When you sit in your house, you're wondering, is it my neighbor? What's the problem? When you're driving down the street, if you're like my wife, when she hears the sound, she just begins to pray, "God, whatever it is, we know that you're able." But you know the sound. It's a familiar sound. But it's a sound that we don't have to audibly hear. It's a sound that palpitates and races and strains through our hearts each and every day. It's the sound of problem. It's the sound of pain. The sound of a failing health. That's the sound of financial stress. You know the sound when there's a messed up marriage. It's the sound of a rocky relationship. It's the sound of fresh fears and uncertainty. We know the sound. It is the sound of crisis. It's the sound crisis. Some time ago, y'all, I read this article by the famous pastor and preacher and author John Ortberg. The name of the article was titled, "Don't Waste a Crisis." He says that the number one contributor, y'all, to spiritual growth is not transformational preaching or teaching. It's not some slamming worship service. It's not our life group or our small group meetings. It's not energetic worship. It's not meaningful service. The number one contributor to our growth as believers, believe it or not, is suffering. People grow more in times of suffering and pain and heartache than any other point in their lives. I think we got some believers here today to say to you, listen, pain and problems bring clarity. It brings focus and clarity into your life and my life. But although pain can draw us closer to God, it doesn't always happen that way. It doesn't happen that way by circumstance or by accident. It has to happen on purpose. And if we don't manage our crises in the right way, they won't connect us to God in the way that they should connect us to God. I think about my neighbor, grew up together. She is several years older than I am, and she was my babysitter. And if she happens to be listening in, listen, I hated the way you babysitted us. She was mean, y'all. She was mean. Several years older. She used to take a wet dish towel, and pop us when we got out of line, y'all. Yeah, anybody do this? You have the wet dish towel, and pop. I hope she's listening. But But so we attended, my family, we attended the Baptist church. Her family, they attended the AME church. And so I like the AME church too. So, you know, the Baptists, you know, we were loud. The pastor was spitting and preaching, and you know, and everybody was sweating and everything. The AME church, her church, y'all, it was kind of quiet. You know, they were kind of intellectual. You know, they didn't get too loud. But what I loved about their church, I used to love to go every year for their vacation Bible school. During vacation Bible school, they would have what they called a heaven and a Hades party. So some of y'all might know about that. In this heaven and Hades party, y'all, they would have, you know, so they teach you about God and Jesus and how you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to see the devil. You don't want to do that. And they have a party, y'all, and they'd have hot spaghetti. That was the Hades part. Yes. Some of y'all remember. See, they had the hot spaghetti, y'all. I love the hot spaghetti. I don't know what that means about me, but I love the hot spaghetti. The hot spaghetti was good, and then they have ice cream, and that represented the heaven part of the heaven and the Hades party. A few years ago, my friend lost her son, 25, 26 years old. It was sudden. Out of the blue, he was gone. I remember talking to her, and she told me how she had left the church, that she couldn't believe in a God that would take her child like that. It was too heavy for her to deal with. Grew up in the church, AME, that she didn't think that God was who he said he was or what the Bible said he was, because why would a God allow such an evil and a bad thing to happen to her child? But you know what? For several years of not going to church, she texted me one Sunday morning just to let me know. She says, I went to church. Did you get that? I went to church. That here she was dealing with this major crisis in her life. She thought God had forgotten about her. But years later, God kept his hand on her. He kept his hand, and years later, she found her way back to church. And she found her way back to God. In our text for today, y'all, listen, Daniel is in the midst of a crisis. But Daniel knew how to make a crisis bring him closer into his connection and relationship with God. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you dealing with? I believe there's someone in the house today, you're dealing with a crisis. You're dealing with a situation that's out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it. And you're sitting and you're wondering, and maybe you feel like you're just going through the motions. Maybe you feel like you're in the midst of the status quo. Maybe you feel like you're losing your mind and you're going through a crisis. So how might this life crisis expert by the name of Daniel help us when we are going through crises in our lives? So in the text for today, the entire nation of Judah is in a crisis. They were snatched from their homeland in Jerusalem, and they were captives to a king in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. All right. Daniel, who is a Jew, had to serve Nebuchadnezzar, that he was one of the wise men that were part of his entourage, a part of his crew, and he and his three Hebrew brothers had to serve him. Y'all know their name is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the time came, y'all, listen, when the king needed somebody to interpret and to remember his dream. Now, I want y'all to keep your eyes focused on that. It's in chapter 2. The king dreamed a dream, and he could not remember nor interpret the dream. So he calls all of his wise men, his astrologers together and say, listen, y'all got to tell me, what did I dream? And then and remember the dream and interpret the dream for me. And in that number was Daniel and his friends. But the king got angry when nobody could interpret the dream. And so he was determined to kill everybody. Every wise man, every astrologer. And guess what? Daniel and his crew and his boys were a part of that death sentence. Well, so what would you do? Again, what crisis are you facing? Maybe it's not some evil king that wants to kill you. But maybe it's the crisis of chaos and confusion that's overshadowing you and overtaking you. Maybe it's a psychological crisis that you're dealing with in your life right now. Maybe it's a sick child that's not getting well and you don't know what to do. Maybe it's an emotional crisis that your head, your mind is all twisted and you can't figure things out and you're going through a crisis. Maybe it's spiritual. And maybe today, again, you feel like you're just going through the motions. You showed up today by the grace and the mercy of God, but you feel like it's just status quo. But it's the same old, same old. And maybe for somebody right now, you feel like you're sinking and sinking and sinking, that you're in the midst of a crisis. Listen, Daniel didn't have a problem, y'all. Daniel had a crisis. You know, many people in the business world, they make a distinction between a problem and a crisis. A problem is a situation that's unwanted, it's unexpected, it's undesired, certainly, but when you put it into perspective, there are problems that we can solve, problems that we can handle. There are organizations that deal with problems on a day-to-day basis. Churches have to deal with problems on a day-to-day basis, but listen, problems can be solved. That's what business people believe. Problems present difficulty and uncertainty, and they can even develop into a crisis. But by and large, problems can be handled. And here's what I found out. Because of human perception and the way we think, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes people will bring their problems to you as if they are in crisis. Look at me, don't look around. That man, I'm going, and you listen, you go, that's all you dealing with? That's all that is? Come on, sit down. Let me school you. Let me help you a little bit. Listen, don't let people bring their issues to you as if it were a crisis and it's just a problem and maybe it's not that. And here's what else people will do. They'll bring their problem. They'll bring their crisis to you, dump it on you, and they'll go down and sit somewhere and go to sleep and get something to eat. So be careful with allowing people to dump their issues and their mess and their stuff on you. Listen, teenagers, you're dealing with peer pressure. Let it be a problem, the problem maturation that you're growing. It doesn't have to be a crisis. Young people, listen, you don't have to follow everybody and what everybody else is doing. Then listen, God gave you a mind to think with and you can think for yourself. So think for yourself. Don't see it as a crisis. It might be a problem. You're maturing. You're growing. Yes, you are, but don't listen to crazy folk. Know the difference between a problem and a crisis. Listen, older folk, they say we're supposed to go to midlife crisis. You know, the psychologists will tell you that because you get older, you're supposed to go through a midlife crisis. Why? Well, why do I have to have a scheduled crisis on my calendar? Just because psychology, I'm supposed to. So what? Yeah, so getting a little bit older, stuff starting to drop and droop and poke out. But that don't mean you're supposed to get up and leave your spouse and go get your little red sports car and, you know. That don't mean you're supposed to lose your mind. You're going through a problem. You're going through a situation. You are getting older. Your teeth are falling out. Your hair is falling out. But that's life, y'all. And life happens to us all. Young folk, you laughing right now. But hold on. Yeah. Y'all don't know that about Dunlop's disease. That's when your belly done locked over your belt. Yeah, it's... But we need to know the distinction between a problem and a crisis. Daniel had a crisis. That here's a situation that was beyond their control. In the business world, a crisis is a situation that is unexpected, creates uncertainty, unstable, and poses an imminent threat to ongoing operations of the organization. So when we have crises in our lives, it disturbs and interrupts the operation of our lives. Anybody ever been through a crisis before? Don't fool me now. Think about for a minute, y'all, what would happen? What might happen if there were an ice storm and it paralyzes the whole city?
I mean, all the power goes out all across the whole city. And for days, you sitting in your house and you blowing your breath and you can see that cold air coming out of your mouth. The stove ain't working. Nothing ain't working. No heat in the house. Cell phone ain't working. Anybody remember the ice storm in Texas back in 2000? And what was that? That was 2021. Anybody remember that? That was a crisis. Anybody remember? That was a crisis. It was a situation that was beyond our control. Nothing we could do about it. A whole lot of folk didn't have any. And who had power in their house? I'm jealous. I'm mad at you. So Felicia's like, so what? Yeah, so what? So what? Hey. But some people live near grids, or I guess through hospitals and stuff like that, so you still had power. A lot of us didn't have none. Thank God for Generac. Thank God for Generac. Brother Sport, thank God for Generac. Amen. Amen. So in the text, y'all, let me get to the text. So here's a situation, y'all, that was unexpected. Look at verses 12 through 13. The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. That was unexpected, y'all. Can you imagine Daniel on that day? He's just chilling. Just talking to his brother. What y'all want to do today? We can go down to the chicken shack. We can hang out. What y'all want to do? All of a sudden, the king's men roll in, y'all, and they say, guess what? The king wants y'all. He's going to kill all of y'all. You're talking about a bad day. That's a bad day. Here's a situation that was unexpected. It also created uncertainty. Look at verses 14 through 15 again. When Arioch, the commander of the king's army, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. But he asked this question, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? Daniel's trying to figure out what's up. This ain't making sense to me. Y'all just gonna roll in here and y'all just want to kill us and we don't understand why y'all want to kill us? So it created uncertainty. So it was an unstable situation. It was an emergency requiring immediate action. But guess what? There was absolutely nothing in the moment they could do about it. These wise men could not figure out the king's dream. They couldn't remember what he didn't remember. So they could interpret what he could not interpret. And all of them were subject to death, including Daniel and his friends. And so Daniel handled his predicament, though, with confidence. I want us to know that if you're going to go through a crisis and deal with it well, you need to do it with confidence. You need to do it with courage. You need to do it understanding who you are in God. That the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. And from the outset of your crisis, whatever you did, you need to know that and believe that and hang on to that. The first thing we see that Daniel did, y'all, in the text, listen, Daniel planned. Look at verse 16. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. So he takes the time to plan that he does not panic. How oftentimes when we're going through a crisis situation, the first thing we do, we begin to panic. The first thing we do, so we act like we have lost our mind. We the people of God, just say we trust God and we believe God. He can do anything but fail. And the minute we go through our crisis, y'all, we have a fit. But Daniel, he slowed his roll, y'all. He took the time to start a planning process. Hold on, let me go up to the king now. Let me see what the situation is. Okay, oh great king, what's up with this? Why you want to kill us? And so he took the time to plan. Listen, how you react to a situation has the power to change the situation. Did you hear me? How you react to a situation has the power to change the situation. But guess what? For the better or for the worse. Daniel began to plan. But here's the part I really like about it. Daniel prayed, y'all. He prayed. Look at verses 17 through 19. Then Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah what had happened. He urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. That's so important. If you're going through a crisis, you need to pray. And I don't mean one of them patty cake, God, be it the work it. I mean, pray.
Sincerely pray to God. I love Daniel's prayer here. If you just read just a little bit, it should bless your heart. Look at verse 20. He said, praise the name of God forever and forever. He has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of the world, that he's omniscient. And he's everything. He moves the king's heart. He gives wisdom. He does this. He reveals the deep, mysterious things of the world. Though he's surrounded with light, listen, he understands the darkness. So he talks about the attributes of God Almighty, that God is all-powerful, that God is all-knowing, that God can do anything but fail. I wonder sometimes if we really believe that. When you pray to God, do you believe that God can do anything but fail? That Daniel prayed. And not only that, y'all, he solicited the prayers of his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Four young men are praying, y'all. Can you imagine that? Four young men praying to God. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard or keep your heart. That they begin to pray. Can I ask you a question? Who's a part of your prayer and your praise team? Who are the people that you're surrounded with that when you're going through some stuff, the first thing they're going to say, come on, let's pray. Who are the people in your life that will help you praise your way through a crisis in your life? The last person you need on your team when you're going through something is somebody, yeah, you sure right, man, it's bad. Yeah. So some of y'all know some folk like that, for real though, I mean. You tell them, listen, you going for prayer, you pray with me. Oh, man, that's bad. They keep rehearsing the problem, how bad it really is. But we need some prayer warriors on our team. We need a prayer team and a praise team on our side when we're going through our times of crisis in our lives. And then what did Daniel do? He praised. Verses 20 through 23, we see a praising Daniel. God, I think and I praise you, God, of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we ask of and revealed to us what the king demanded. God gave Daniel the answer he needed, and immediately, guess what Daniel began to do? What do you do when God gives you the answer to your prayer? Do you forget to praise him? Do you forget to open up your mouth, throw up your hand, throw back your head and tell God thank you? Do you forget to wherever God blesses you, I believe that's where you got to praise him. Listen. If you're in the middle of the grocery store and you're trying to get something, and somebody blesses you by buying your groceries, that's the time to praise God. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for supplying my need. When your change is strange and your money is short, you got more month than money, and listen, but God supplies a need for you, you got to tell God thank you. When you're sick in your body, you don't know how you're going to get well, but you go to the doctor and the doctor says it's over, that you're healed, you ought to tell God thank you. Wherever God blesses you, that's where you ought to praise him. That's where you ought to thank him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I praise him wherever I am, in the grocery store. Praise him on the job. Praise him in church. Praise him wherever I go. He's worthy to be praised. Daniel had a crisis. He had a predicament, but Daniel had confidence. But Daniel properly gave God credit too. So I'll let you read chapter 2, chapter 3 to see what this whole dream was all about. In short, what the king dreamed, it was a dream that said, listen, king, you are the king of Babylon, but the day will come when the Babylonians will be destroyed. And anybody that knows history, was the Medo-Persians that destroyed them. The historians in the house. The Medo-Persians got destroyed by the Greeks. Anybody ever watched the movie 300? Spartans, unite! That's what that war was all about. That the Medo-Persians fell to the Greeks. The Greeks fell to the Romans. Xerxes, you got it. So we got some historians in the house. Teacher. Remember, we'll just teach a little history for a little while. And so he's interpreting his dream for that. Listen, y'all, God going to bring y'all down. But the king was grateful that he told him what the dream was all about. And it's the same God that Daniel believed in that connected this king to God also. But Daniel didn't get the big head, y'all. That Daniel properly gave God credit. Look at verse 27. Let me get my eyes on it. Let me get my old eyes on it. Where am I? Am I 2 and 27? Where? Let me see here. Let me see. Yeah, there you go. 2 and 27. Daniel replied, "There are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret." They said, I can't do this. This is a God thing. Be careful of taking God's glory and his credit. Yeah, God can give you wisdom. God can drop some knowledge. But make sure you give praise to God for it. Give God credit for it. And in verse 28, Daniel said, "But there is a God in it. I can't do it, but there's a God in heaven." And I think we need to let people know that sometimes. Listen, I can't do it. It's not in my power. I don't have the authority to do it. But listen, there is a God in heaven. And he has all authority, he has all power, and he can do anything but fail. Daniel said there is a God in heaven. The fact that there's a God in heaven, y'all, that's an affirmation to believers. It's an answer to skeptics. It's an alarm to the agnostic. And it's an announcement to the world, y'all, that there is a God in heaven. As the old folks say, he sits high and he looks low, but I'm so glad he comes low because he comes to me in my circumstances and situation. Daniel properly gave credit to God. This final thing, y'all, it's just 10:05. And so y'all get out for some grits and eggs here in just a few minutes. That Daniel promoted, God promoted Daniel as a result of his commitment. When you look at verses 46 through 49, you find that Daniel was elevated. His friends were elevated. The king was elevated. And the king elevated God. Listen, when you're going through a crisis, I think it's so important that we do what Daniel did. If you can plan, make some plans. But make sure your plans give way to God, so you need to pray to God. There's some situations, y'all, that are so beyond our control, it ain't funny. There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. And I believe there's some folk here right now that you've got some on your heart, some on your mind you're dealing with, and you wish you did have some control over, but you have no control over it whatsoever, and you're going through a crisis. Maybe you're dealing with a loved one right now that's going through a crisis. They're going through a situation they cannot control, that their bodies are sick and they cannot get well, that they're dealing with struggles in their lives, and it's like it's nothing you can do to help them. But there's one thing all of us can do. We can go to God. And we can bring them to God. Then we can elevate our circumstances, elevate our situation, elevate our stuff before God, and know that God will work it out in his way and in his time. We have to trust God. Those two words, if we could just get those two words down, trust God. Whatever you're going through, trust God. Whatever you're dealing with, trust God. Believe God. Do you trust God? Do you believe God? Are you leaning on him hard? Trust God. God may not elevate you to the status that he elevated Daniel, but I believe he'll elevate your faith. He'll elevate your confidence in him and your trust in him. God promoted Daniel as a result of his commitment. We make a crisis count in our lives when we discover that in our crisis, y'all, the Lord is all we have. But guess what? He's all that you need. Did you hear me today? The Lord is all that you have, but he's everything that you need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. So listen to me, beloved of God. When a crisis comes to you to get you down, believe that God will keep you up. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. When a crisis comes to get you down, listen, to silence you, God will cause you to speak up and to speak out and to shout with the voice of triumph. When a crisis comes to hold you down, God will uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. When a crisis comes to beat you down, God will lift you up. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. When a crisis comes to knock you down, God will allow you to get back up again. Stand on your feet and hold your head up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When a crisis comes to make you feel forsaken and alone, God says, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When a crisis comes to press you down, God will pick you up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as a eagle. They shall run and not get. They shall walk and not fight. What are you dealing with today? What crisis are you dealing with? Trust God in your situation. And God will bring you. You believe that today. Don't look at me funny. God will bring you out. I'm a believer. I know him for myself. Brother, God will bring you out. God will bring you out. God will see you through it. Make every crisis in your life, let it count for something. Not just pain and anguish, but let it bring you into a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare God is able, y'all. I just believe, I declare God is able, y'all. God is able, y'all. God can fix it. God can do it. I just believe today. You just need to trust him in it. Trust God. Trust God. God is able to do it. But will you trust him in your crisis? Make every crisis count. Don't have problems just to have problems. You're going to have them. And since you're going to have them, it may as well be useful. It ought to cause you to grow in your faith. It ought to cause you to stand strong and to trust God and believe God. Well, whatever you're dealing with in your life, pray with me now. Father, thank you for this word today. God, as your people are dealing with crisis, brokenness, heartache and pain, personal circumstances that are beyond their control, situations, Lord God, that they cannot fix, see, the doctors cannot fix, no matter how hard we struggle to try, but God, when we look to you, and even when you decide not to deliver us out of the crisis, you can deliver us in it, oh God. You can give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can fill us with your power and with your presence, oh God, to stand in the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our issues, oh God. And God, you already know there's a whole lot that your people are dealing with, a whole lot that they're going through. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through you to the pulling down of every stronghold, every worry, every weight. In this very moment, oh God, we cast them upon you, casting all our cares on you, because your word is true and it says you care for us. So in this moment, oh God, take the crisis. Take the heavy. Take the weight. God, as we cry out to you, you know the language of every teardrop. You know the pain that your people feel. Jesus, you are in all points tempted, yet without sin. Jesus, you came in a fleshly body. You know the pain of loss. You know the silent pain that people suffer with. And although we look good on the outside, on the inside, it's not good. So in this very moment, oh God, we give it to you. We can't handle it. You can't handle it. You've tried too long. You can't handle it. It's too heavy for you. You can't handle it. God wants you to release it and let it go. God wants you to give it to him. Give it to him right now. Stop carrying the guilt. Stop carrying the shame. Stop carrying that weight. Give it to him right now. And God, we give it to you. And we trust you. And we leave it with you. We refuse to pick it back up again.
God, it's yours. Do with it as you please. And we simply trust you. We believe you. We hold on to your unchanging hand. This is our prayer and our hope and our belief. It's in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now for anyone under the sound of my voice that's not in a saving relationship with Jesus. God, that you would draw them by your Spirit, draw them by your power. Your word lets us know that we must admit that we are sinners, that we've all fallen short of your glory. But by your gracious power and your gracious hand, oh God, you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins. He died, but 3 days later, he got back up with all power, the power to raise us and to save us. It's that power we trust in and we believe, that we confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives. We believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, and according to your word, that saves us, that settles it. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this moment. Speak to hearts. Save by your power. For that person that may be saved but that's not connected to a local church somewhere, draw them by your Spirit. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
So if you are here today, and after praying that prayer, perhaps you're believing on Jesus for the very first time, perhaps you're tuned into our online ministry, you're believing for the first time, we have new member ministry advisors who are here today. They are headed to room number one. We have ushers that are standing in the aisles. Their hands are outstretched. If it's your desire to connect into a relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all, if you don't have that, or connect with this ministry, Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith, we invite you to do that today. Again, the ushers are standing in the aisle. Just get up from where you are. Get up from where you are. Follow them out. They'll take you to room number one. We'll gather some information and we'll welcome you to Living Faith, amen, with open arms, amen. We'll welcome you with open arms, amen. We'll welcome you with open arms. Will there be someone, amen, hallelujah. Just follow them to room number one. If you are in the house today, or if you're online today, you're wondering, well, listen, I'm not there, what can I do? You can do that today. There is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. It's online as we speak. Click on that link. Fill out that information. Fill that information out. And I promise you, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you this week, and we will welcome you with open arms. Amen. And
you've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.